Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Now it's time again for a question and answers session. Again, if I may ask you to wait for the microphone before you start speaking and also to stand and to give the name and your organisation before asking the question. And again, if I may ask online viewers to use the submit question to chair button on their screen. And if I may ask the high-tech solution at the back to stand away from the light slightly so I can, if I can make sure. Ah, you're here now. There you are. Thank you, James. You did it as well. Questions then, please. At the back there.
Hi. I'm Sarah Shobrook, Truro and Penwith College. My question is for Sammy. You talked about higher education and further education and university for National Student Survey. Where do indirectly funded NSS results go? Because I believe, and we've got somebody here from Plymouth, that all of my college results are actually part of Plymouth University and not part of the college because I'm indirectly funded. And I think that if that's the case for all the indirectly funded numbers, then it throws the stats that you've put up into a bit of a quandary, I would say, because there are actually quite a few indirectly funded HE and FE places.
Sammy. That is a very technical question. Let me just check that I understand the question before I try to answer. There are, in the NSS, it only covers students which are HEFC funded.
Yeah.
I'm talking about England, obviously. Yes. And then within each institution, we have what we call is students registered at an institution. For example, you can be registered at Manchester, but the course is delivered elsewhere, so students are taught elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So the way we deliver the results are presented today, focus on the teaching institution. That is where a particular student is taught. Those are the results I delivered today. The results that go back to institutions, we deliver results back to institutions at a very detailed level, and we give both results for students who are taught at an institution and students who are registered at an institution. So both sets of results are available if, in any institution, those two scenarios are available. And this is where I'm going to hide a bit. However, the way I know who is registered where is data we would get, some at the beginning and some is reconciled later, from data that is provided to us by HEFC. They say, John is taught here, Elizabeth is registered there. So that is the only way for me to know where I allocate the data. And I must say that I trust that data because it was right at some point in time in the process. Things do change, they do change quickly, and they may not get picked up. We know very in any undertaking of this scale, there's going to be that possibility. And I wouldn't undermine the quality of the data or even its statistical reliability. These noises, these changes that happen are really minimal. So I can take it from me, those results are reliable, despite, if we're talking about a particular course in a particular institution, yes, there may be a problem. You may say, I had 20 students to start with, but now I only have two, and you're reporting to me back 20, the 23 that I started with, which is not reality. I suppose it is then for you really to make that judgment, say, this data was right at some point, but it's not right for me today because things have changed and they have not been taken into account. I hope I sort of demystified the point, but I also accept that you are not going to be totally happy with what I'm saying. I wish what I get at the outset is reality and does not change. Then no one will challenge the results I put up.
There's a question waiting to come from online, but I just wanted to give you the opportunity to respond there if you wanted to.
I'm not 100% sure that you actually answered my question because my understanding from University of Plymouth is that our overall satisfaction is counted with theirs. So maybe I've got it wrong, but we have over 900 HE students. So I'm not talking about a few students. I'm actually talking about quite a few. But, I mean, it might be something that Plymouth actually separates out. But
can I offer that we take this question later on and really investigate what is the actual matter in your very particular case?
Okay, Tony.
I just think quickly, I might be wrong, but I think what you're getting at is that it's difficult to know where those students are where they lie. So it was the same when I was at Cornwall, when in fact it was the same institution, because our students are through University of Plymouth as well. But so essentially you would get results for the students you study on your campuses, and they would also be included in Plymouth's overall satisfaction. And Plymouth would be able to break down, or should be able to break down, by where they're taught, so they should be able to look at... That happens both ways. So they're both included in Plymouth, so they're counted twice, essentially, in the statistics that go back.
Okay, can I take that question from the online viewer, please?
We have two. The first is from Craven College. Student satisfaction is not linked to cohort success. It's very hard for colleges to gauge their success when there is no publicly shared data for cohort success. Why can't KIS and HESA produce and recommend a way of recording and publishing success? Second question is from the Manchester College for Sammy. Can you please clarify what you mean by the characteristics of students are taken into account regarding the classifications on the benchmarking side?
Okay. That first question about KIS data and more, is that are we able to respond on that? Shall we go to the second question?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not a representative of HESA, so that's where the question really needs to go. KIS and HESA data are responsibility of HEFCE and HESA, so I'm not able to comment on that. The second question is the characteristics of students the two slides which are screen grabs that from HEFCE data are indeed sorted by what HEFCE called benchmark data, and by benchmark data they have redefined the characteristics of each institution and who that is. The types of students that actually attend a particular course. So I don't know the exact details. I'm sure I can make them available easily. But what in essence the spirit of the analysis is students studying at Manchester Metropolitan. For example, there is a significant proportion of part-time students, or a significant proportion of international students, or of ethnic minorities, and that is taken into account. So, I'm explaining myself, assuming that students were all even in all institutions and in all courses, what would be the results in that particular institution?
Okay, thank you, Sammy. For the record, then, the first question, we're not really in a position to be able to answer that, but if we can record that does appear to be a concern amongst our FE colleges that student success is not, cohort success is not adequately publicised around the sector. One more question from the floor, please. Yes. Can you, do you mind waiting for the microphone? I'm sorry.
Thank you. Jerry Griffiths, Chichester College. Question for Kath. Kath, you rather candidly revealed the discussions you'd had with your governors when you're looking at introducing the fees. And one of the things was you were talking about teaching hours. What did you do?
We reduced them.
Are you able to say to what level?
Well, I don't know. I'm quite happy to find out and tell you. But we made sure that the programmes we were offering them were viable, really. So it went through the viability check. But I'll find out how many hours we do offer it in. Okay,
thank you. Another question, please. Okay.
Hi, Hello, my name is Stephen Fox from Buxton University. It's a question for Kath and for Tony, really, about the... we heard a lot about the student experience and the university experience. I was wondering about the educational experience and whether we need to think about how we remodel education in the future. And I was asking you to put on your... to look at the crystal ball, how whether you think we will deliver things differently in terms of providing a better educational experience that will meet the aspirations of our future generations.
Mm. OK, Kath first, please.
Well, what we're trying to do is put a lot more social spaces in the build and have that a lot more flexible so that obviously a high degree of technology is being put in there, really. And we accept that students like to learn more in environments that are perhaps a lot more comfortable than and rather than formal. We've gone for some large spaces as well. I know we talked about whether we'd have 20 in a class in HE, and I'm not sure we actually get there of that number in a class. But certainly we've got the opportunity then to bring larger groups of students together. So I think it's really about flexible learning. But in addition then, it's about ensuring that the teaching techniques and the pedagogy going on is appropriate to that and make sure that people are up to date because we have got some quite traditional teachers as well.
Okay, Tony?
I'm not 100% sure which bit of a question to tackle because, you know, I could list all of the things I'd like in the future in education. I think that we need to look at carefully at how we can have a clearer relationship between further and higher education. I think there's a big problem actually at the moment that we silo them off into different sectors, and it creates a huge issue in terms of even in kind of teaching practice, but also in funding and in government policy and all sorts of things. And people slip through the net, and you know, I personally think we'd be much better off with a more kind of coherent, collaborative tertiary education sector that offers people opportunities to kind of move in and out of education throughout their lives and is kind of more fluid and flexible and has elements of vocational and applied and academic education where necessary and where kind of practicable and desirable for everybody involved. But I also think I think the issue of technology is a really interesting one because we've done some work with some students in FE colleges who when we asked them to sort of prioritise the things that they would like in terms of technology, and you know, as much as we all love iPads and that's great. But what they kind of across the board said was that they would much rather they wouldn't have new technology in place of good teaching. And technology, new technology is no substitute for good teaching, and it shouldn't be. And I think one of the areas we really need to work on is we have lots and lots of technology sitting in colleges and universities not being used effectively. I would much rather have spent a 3-hour chemistry lecture not using technology than spent a 3-hour chemistry lecture dying by a 3-hour PowerPoint. Because that's not good use of technology, and if you're not going to use it properly, don't use it, I think. But hopefully in the future we'll be able to kind of be better at that, but that takes a lot of funding and a lot of investment in people's time and commitment to CPD, and I think that's a really key area that, you know, we need to invest more time in our staff, I think, in terms of teaching staff, particularly in HE.
Okay. Time for one more question. Unless stomachs, I think, are probably driving our agenda now. So, okay. Thank you. So let's draw this session then to a close. We'll be coming back for the third session, which is creating sustainability at 2 o'clock. So again, if you could be back in here promptly for 2 o'clock so that we can start on time and keep our online audience to time, to give them what they want by time, I should say. Refreshments are served in room 118. But again, please, could I ask you to show your appreciation to Tony and to Sammy and to Kath for their contribution to this.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.